Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, and welcome to Everything is Fine, a podcast for women over 40. We are your hosts. I'm Kim France.
And I'm Jen Romolini.
And Jen, I noticed something about you today. I think it's a first.
Yes.
I don't know if it's a first from our whole friendship, but a first for a long time.
Yes.
Can you guess what it is?
No idea.
You're wearing black.
I was going to comment on this. We are both wearing black hoodies.
Yeah, we are.
We are. We're wearing it's the Black Hoodie Club for sure.
Yeah.
Wait, you don't see me. I don't normally wear black.
You don't normally wear black. You wear, you're like my inspiration when it comes to color. I'm really trying.
Yeah, I realized as we were talking earlier that we match. It's really funny.
We're twinning pretty hard. It's true.
I was imagining us matching. Speaking of matching, we have some new merch in our Tee Public store. We have a couple of Crone Club t-shirts that I designed over the weekend. So if anyone is interested, we also have some mugs and some other things. If you want to check out our Tee Public store, we have some cute stuff in there and I'll put that in the show notes. How are you this week?
I'm pretty good this week. You know, it's cold here. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the podcast about weather after all.
Of course.
But it's very pretty today, which is nice because it's just been gray, 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 which gets so predictably depressing.
Yes. Yes, for sure. For sure.
Even
the couple of weeks it was gray here, I was like, whoa, 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 this is too much.
It's too much. The gray can really get to you, even if it's not matched with the cold.
Yeah. I mean, the cold can be nice in the sun.
Yep, it can be. I'm trying to think of some strategies for getting through the winter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, it's only February, still got a long way to go.
Yeah, it is an endurance run, right? It really is a test of endurance.
It's true. So that's how I'm mostly good. I've been traveling a little bit. We were in Philly for a little while. We were in Philly the night that they won the game that meant that the Eagles would go to the Super Bowl. And my favorite thing was that I texted you and I was like, I'm in Philly and they're going crazy in the streets. And you were like, did a sporting event of some sort happen?
I said, wait, did a sports team win?
Yes, that's what it was. And so I told Paul that, and we were looking at videotape the next morning of like all these people standing on top of a bus stop, which like came crashing down. Did you see that?
Oh, I saw everything. What I texted you after that was I was like, go inside. They will burn the city with their joy.
It's true.
No, Philly sports fans are unlike anywhere else in the country. I think they're notorious for being just wild, wildly exuberant and also very aggressive.
They were both of those things that night. It's true.
Yeah.
So what else is new with you?
I'm having a really good week after having several very bad weeks. On Sunday night, I just realized my mental health was in the shitter. Just really, in the shitter. And I just got back on all the self-care things that make me be okay at this time in my life. And, you know, I started doing morning pages.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually did help my writing this week. I figured out a hack for myself, and I don't know if this works for everybody, but I put my journal or my notebook, journal feels so corny somehow, in a drawer in the bathroom. And now I do the morning pages before I brush my teeth right at the sink. I just do the morning pages as soon as I wake up before I brush my teeth. Like, you know, wake up, do whatever you do in the bathroom, morning pages, brush my teeth, put some moisturizer on, exit and go. And then I'm going to meditate. And that's really been it. I've done like some yoga here and there, and I've been doing walks with friends. I've been really trying to implement the Lori Leibovich thing of doing that at least once a week. But the morning pages and the meditation, like a 1-2 punch, has stabilized me this week. And I had to quit smoking pot again.
Why?
Because I can't smoke pot and be functional. I lose access to words. Mm-hmm. I just become whatever's going on with me chemically with perimenopause. I mean, I'm a not lifelong stoner, but you know, since teenage stoner. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time in my life that I think that cannabis is altering my mood in not a great way, making mm-hmm. me more anxious and depressed, and also really blocking my memory, my word recall. So I had to stop smoking pot again. But anyway, so that's what I've been doing. And I've been feeling really good. And that's, you know, that's the most important thing. It's just, as we've talked about a million times on this show, a friend said to me very early on, I was like, how am I going to get through this perimenopause? And she was like, it's just going to be a lot of boring lifestyle changes. And that advice has borne out again and again and again. So that's how I'm doing.
The word retrieval makes me think of a show that I know you've watched more episodes than I have of, mm-hmm. Poker Face.
Oh my God. Right. I texted you to watch it.
You texted me to watch it. And I love Natasha Lyonne, even though she does slightly play the same character always.
Yeah, fair.
But it works. It totally works. But anyway, she can't remember words in that show. She's like, what's that word? The thing with the door and it travels. Elevator. That's right. Elevator. Like that just happens more the older you get. They're always words I know. They're never tricky words I can't remember.
No. But I will tell you that my vocabulary, even in this 5 days, has just like zoomed. Like I've been writing and I'm like, oh, barrier. That's a word I had. You know, it's like all of a sudden I have them again. But wait, okay, let's go back to Poker Face. Which ones did you watch?
I only watched the first episode.
Okay.
And then you told me to watch the one with Chloe, Sevigny, but that was like several episodes along and I didn't have time to watch more. So I made a decision because I didn't want to ruin like any things that may be revealed.
Well, it was good to watch the first one because that sort of sets an origin story down. For anybody who doesn't know, Poker Face is a show with Natasha Lyonne. She plays a kind of Columbo, like vigilante detective. And she's just kind of like solving crimes, but not in an official capacity through many different towns and cities, basically right now in the Southwest. I love it. I think it's so clever. And it gets the one with Chloe Sevigny, which we could talk about when you watch it. Chloe Sevigny plays like a fading, aging rock star who had one hit mm-hmm. and is like now working in a Home Depot, but trying to like reignite her career. Mm-hmm. And it's a really interesting episode about there's more than meets the eye, I'll say. The show is on Peacock, and it's by Rian Johnson, the guy who did Knives Out. Mm-hmm. There's more than meets the eye, I think, to these episodes. There's a lot going on. They're multi-layered, and it's particularly this one with Chloe, which really gets into, you know, talent and fame and, you know, ambition and being a hack. And, you know, it's mm-hmm. really, really good. And there's a lot of twists and turns. I watched that show this week and I fucking loved it. I thought it was great.
Natasha Lyonne is also very inspiring because she had a seriously bad, like bad period.
Yes. Like, yes, some darkness. Yes.
Some serious darkness, some serious drug problems. I think someone told me that she was living under a bridge for a while.
Yes. Well, there was a whole thing. Who was it? There was somebody that was maybe, there was some like big controversy. Maybe she set an apartment on fire. There was something went on. I'm not remembering this right. Maybe there was like Michael Rapaport was involved. Please nobody at me on this. I'm not 100% sure, but I remember a series like she was like one of those like page six following a continuous story, page six for a minute. But then the first time I saw her again before she sort of, you know, reemerged in Hollywood was she used to work out at all the same places I work out in Silver Lake. So like 10 years ago, I just started seeing her in yoga class and I was like, what? What's happening? Why are you here? And then like we're spinning next to each other. She was wearing Gucci loafers one time in spin class. And I was like, what, why? But anyway, so I knew personally that she was okay before the world did.
That's funny. I knew that Kurt Cobain was missing before the world knew that he was missing and dead.
Wait, how did you know that?
I had a friend who was reporting a piece on Courtney Love.
Oh.
Actually, with a person with a lot of integrity she was reporting it for Details magazine. And after Kurt died, she said, I'm not filing this story.
I think that was the right call.
Yeah.
What else have you been, what else? Listening, watching, reading?
Well, I got BritBox. I decided to pay for BritBox.
What in the world is BritBox?
BritBox is a streaming service that has all British TV shows.
That's very perfect for you.
It's very perfect for me. They have a whole true crime section, which is really exciting. And I've been watching this show called Stonehouse.
Okay.
It's about a guy named John Stonehouse, who was a member of parliament who faked his own death.
What is it? Document?
It's a docudrama.
Wow. Okay.
And he is played by, what the hell is his name on the show? The guy on Succession who's Shiv's husband, Tom.
Oh, yes.
Who actually is British.
Yes. A lot of them are. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of them are. And Shiv is Australian, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
anyway, I've been liking that. I've been liking that a lot. It's kind of smart and funny, and he's kind of this hapless guy. And, you know, it's a good one. And it's a period piece, so that's good.
Well, I'm really pleased for you that you got that Rip, like, I feel like that's so perfect for you because I feel like you have so many interests. Like, I feel like that's a perfect entertainment zone for you.
It is. And I had Acorn, which also has a lot of British shows, but not enough.
Okay.
So I'm very excited about this new development. And I look forward to watching many British true crime shows.
I watched, and this is super sleepy and everyone might not be in the mood for this. And maybe you watch it if you're really feeling like, I just want something to kind of wash over me in France. Annie Arnaud, I'm on that kick because I read that book, A Simple Passion. And I watched, there's a documentary and I don't know when it came out, but I happened to find it in like a Google search. It's called Super 8. And it is all of this Super 8 footage of her and her, I think now ex-husband and their children and her mother that they shot in the 70s of her family. And most of it is without sound, the footage. And it's her narrating her experience of that moment now as like a woman in her 70s, what it felt like to be in her early 30s raising children. She was a high school English teacher, but she was secretly writing novels on the side, but didn't feel like she could tell her husband. It's like a lot of their travel and it's not very fast paced or anything, but if you're into like a very, I don't know, I would say life affirming travelogue, of the south of France in the 70s. I don't know. I think it's a good go. I watched it last night. I mean, I was a little bit like, oh, I'm kind of falling asleep during this, but that's not always so bad.
Some things require precisely that much attention, or you can get away with precisely that much attention.
I listened to that podcast, If Books Could Kill, and the Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, or Women, whatever that is, that book, that was the one they did. And I was cackling. It was so funny. That was
how good.
It is so, so funny. They break down everything that is wrong with that, the whole Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus book, and every single like theory. And it turns out like the author is a man and it's like an asshole. And it's just like, what? My wife wants me to pay attention to feelings? Ruh-roh, you know, like, no way.
How funny. I want to listen to that.
You should. You should.
There's some, I've been thinking about something a lot, and it's kind of a bummer, but I've been thinking about it.
Let's talk about it.
Dying. Mortality.
Okay. I'm right with you. Continue.
I've reached the age where people are getting sick.
Yes.
You know, not everybody, not even, you know, half of everybody, but like they're no longer outliers, the people who get sick.
Yeah.
It's happening regularly. Some people die.
I'm sorry.
And I've just been thinking so much about that moment you find out, you know, stage four, metastatic or whatever.
Yeah.
Like that moment when you're like, okay, I may have a year, may have 6 months. I don't know how long I have, but it's not long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like what goes on in, I mean, a million things go on in people's minds, but how do you begin, how does one even begin to accept that when it happens?
Well, it's funny. I don't know the answer to that, but it's funny that you bring this up because I've been also thinking about this a lot as I'm really unpacking why I'm feeling so concerned about getting older because I don't really give a shit, but why? And it's really that thing of like, well, I'm closer to the end. Oh my God, I'm closer to the end. Fuck. I don't want to be closer to the end. So I have been trying to sort of face this head on. And I think I've mentioned this before on the show, but I don't know. I'm listening to a book called How We Live is How We Die by Pema Chodron. And I've been thinking a lot about the concept of the bardo. You know what the bardo is? The bardo is in Tibetan Buddhism. It's like the time between the moment you die and the time of rebirth. So it's an intermediate transitional or liminal state between death and rebirth. This is just what the Tibetan Buddhists think, right? It's supposed to be 49 days, right? Where your soul kind of exists in a dreamlike state. Not important to believe that or not, but it's more like Laurie Anderson has written songs. Like I think it's Songs from the Bardo. There's that Lincoln in the Bardo. This is all about like a sort of post-death. And it's about a time when you're looking back on your life. And it's preparing for death, really. If you start thinking about the bardo, you start thinking about how do I prepare for that moment when I die? And how do I get right with it? And one thing she said, and for whatever this is worth, it really stuck with me. I wrote it down, that she prays to, this Tibetan nun, prays to people who have just died, who are in the bardo to help them not struggle with this period of time. But what she said was, and I thought this was very good advice for life and has been helping me sort of feel more at ease, is she says to them, don't run, slow down. Don't make any quick moves. Face whatever scares you now. Mm. And I thought, that's good prep because we don't know what minute we're going to have tomorrow. I mean, what minute? Mm. We don't know what we're going to have. We can't know.
Yeah.
We can't know. So the only thing we can do is try to live this moment the best that we can.
Yeah.
I mean, and that doesn't necessarily help the death stuff go away, but it's part of the death acceptance practice. You know, we're all going to die. I mean, it's the most cliche thing to say, but I could walk outside right now and get hit by a truck. You know, anything could happen at any age. That it's coming closer to when it will inevitably happen is more terrifying, but that just means, I think, and I don't want to take anything away from your fear and anxiety around this because I understand, but I think that the answer that we don't ever really want to hear is that we just need to live in this moment the best we can.
Yeah. I can't tell you how much it fucked me up when you told me Better Call Saul guy.
Yeah.
That he knew he was dead, that he died when he had a heart attack and died and was dead for a few moments and knew he was dead.
Yeah.
That fucked me up. I told my mom, it fucked her up. Like we're both wandering around thinking about that.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I really do tend to really just bring the fun.
You do bring the fun.
Let's take a quick break from some ads.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
And we're back! One thing I have been thinking about is how much my life is motivated by, or how much the things I do in my life are motivated by fear, mm-hmm. right? You know, fear of failure, fear of death, fear of doing the wrong thing, fear of rejection. And I really have like face whatever scares you. I think that that is it.
Yep.
Because what are you going to regret at the end?
Yep. You're right.
You know, and then there's this other thing that Tibetan Buddhists do, which I take full moon hikes. This is very embarrassing, but mm-hmm. that's just something I do with my friend Quinn, which is very fun. But
oh, speaking of your friend Quinn, you had an exciting thing happen.
Oh, I did have an exciting thing happen. Oh my God, I have to say this. I had an Everything Is Fine listener approach me in a bar on Friday night. It was very exciting.
So exciting.
It was very, very exciting. Thank you so much for identifying yourself and coming up to me. It wasn't weird at all. I was so happy to see you. It was so cool. I was just, well, at first I was like, wait, do we know each other? Is this, you know? And no, it was a person who was like, I'm a big fan of Everything Is Fine. It made me so, so happy.
Oh, so nice.
And our listeners have actually been so lovely. Like one listener sent me a bunch of information about ADHD, who was realizing that I was struggling more with ADHD than I had really thought about, you know, like, cause I haven't, mm-hmm. I just got diagnosed like 6 months ago, you know, I don't know everything about this yet. So anyway, listeners, yay, you guys have been so wonderful to us and I'm really super grateful.
Yeah. It's a really nice feeling.
Yeah. Super nice feeling. Anyway, there's this other thing that these Tibetan Buddhists do, which is they, the full moon or the whole, one of the moons, they go over all their regrets and clean them out. It's like every single month you think about what did I do this month that I regretted? And you kind of like process it with like some gentleness and some shame, without shame, with some gentleness. And I forget what the word for it is. My phone just died. Now I can't get on my notes app. So we're never going to know. But it's a ceremony they have so that they're not building up regrets throughout their whole lives and they're processing regret in real time, which I think is such an interesting concept.
It is an interesting concept. And I think like if I did that, I'd somehow have to go back retroactively for all of my regret. But I suppose it's not about that. It really is about beginning to express your regret. I mean, I have so many things I regret. So many things that torture me at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Totally.
When I can't sleep.
What's a not personal one?
I regret how I was the last couple of years at Lucky a lot. I was ready to go and I should have gone.
Yeah.
You know, that was a big, scary step I wasn't willing to make. But I regret that I stuck around, that I knew I was not bringing much creative to the job at the end.
That's so hard, though. That's so hard. It's so hard in those moments to, because it's like, well, what harm did you really, you know, in that moment you could justify, well, what, you know, what harm were you really doing?
Yeah.
But also that was hard for you. Like being checked out was probably really hard for you.
It was a drag. Yeah.
Yeah. To not feel like you could do the job anymore. This morning I was really thinking because I'm about to be in a position to decide what I want to do next. And I was really thinking, can I handle having a full-time job again? Because it would solve so many things in terms of precarity, you know, but it would create so many new problems, you know, and I recognize the immense privilege of being able to set my own schedule and make, you know, and work when I want to work. I mean, within reason, I have deadlines, but you know, I can meet those deadlines in the way that I want to. And I don't have a lot of the meetings. It's really the meetings. If I really think about the worst thing, it's just the fucking endless meetings, just like nonsense meetings, the meetings that could have been an email, the meetings that could have been a Bitmoji. Like, it's just like,
no, it's really true. I once consulted for Microsoft after I worked at New York Magazine, where I'd been in charge, among other things, of the entertainment listings. Mm-hmm. Microsoft decided they wanted to start a city listings public. It's when Microsoft was going to try to get into the content business. Mm-hmm. So they started something called Sidewalk, and someone I knew was running it, and he asked me to come consult. Mm-hmm. And all I did was go to meetings that were not necessary. All I did was go to meetings that were unnecessary. And finally, I said, I'm only here for 4 months. I'm going to be at my cubicle. If you really, really need me, get me. Otherwise, I can't do the job you hired me for.
And I don't know what office culture is like now. I don't know how things are shifting, what's prioritized. I don't know, because it's been a long time since I've been in a traditional office. It's been like 4 or 5 years. But it always felt to me like, why is this so inefficient? Mm-hmm. Don't you want to optimize all of our time? Isn't that the goal here?
Yeah.
Like, isn't it the goal to get the work done the best we can in the fastest way possible, to get from A to B as fast as we can? Instead, it was like one of those family circus cartoons. Every time, every fucking project was like Billy, like stopping in the doghouse and then going on like a slide and like getting in the mud. And then, it's the fucking truth, man. It's just bullshit. Hilarious. It was such bullshit. I'm trying to read more.
I know. I started reading. I'm doing everything after you. I've been reading the Prince Harry book.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
It is good. It's well written. He had a very good writer.
He really did. He really did. And it ends really well.
You also get the feeling that he's like an okay guy.
Yes.
Like, he's a prince. He's stupidly privileged. I don't agree with like everything that he and his wife, you know, have done, but I think he's a good guy. You know, he's sensitive. The way it's so heartbreaking the way he talked about his mother and how for years he just thought mom wanted to disappear. All she's done is disappear.
No, but also just like, it's a book about healing from trauma. Yep. He was a traumatized person. And these are words that from a lot of our families, we don't talk about, you know, that's one of the biggest things about generational trauma. Nobody talks about it, you know, and you're not supposed to. That's like the rule. And he was obviously a traumatized kid by a number of things. Like, and you'll get to the end. I found the end to be so satisfying. And I really cried. I really, really had like a good cry over Harry's life. And also his, I felt I'm saying life affirming again, but I just felt so like, oh, this guy is living a really beautiful life, and it's the life he really wanted. And he got it. And, you know, it's maybe the life his mom would have enjoyed too, had she had been able to get the fuck out of that monstrous situation she was in.
Yeah. No, it's true. It just, you know, I think about it because it's like a family with no physical affection at all, like no hugs, like nobody hugged that kid after Diana died.
No hugs, weird obligation. Everything feels transactional. The stepmother seems really evil. You know, like really just like an axe to grind. And also it's just it felt like when you really understood the sort of mechanics of the royal family, he was the one that they could throw under all the time. So because they need to keep the image of the king and the next king intact.
Yeah.
So it was like, he was just disposable.
Yeah, he was.
And he was like, and excuse my language, one listener who says I don't say anything but fuck, but fuck it. He was like, fuck this.
Yeah.
I'm going to make this other decision. I'm going to live an authentic life. I'm going to live with a woman who loves me for who I am. And I love too. And I'm going to raise two kids and we're going to have some goddamn chickens. And I'm just going to be as normal as I can be.
Right.
It was a very satisfying read. I am reading Janet Malcolm's book, Still Pictures on Really? Photography and Memory. And it's just a series of photographs of her life that then she writes these very beautiful essays to go along with. And it's somebody clearly at the end of their life with a lot of wisdom, still some quite amazing writing chops. And it's a really beautiful book. I've been very moved by it, really enjoying it. So yeah, I've been trying to read more.
I know it's hard.
It is
hard.
I don't
know why it's so hard.
Well, I took Instagram off my phone. Oh, I took Instagram off my phone and then I did the best thing. Not only did I take Instagram off my phone, except when I have to promote the podcast on Mondays, but I did the best thing, which is I reconnected with the Freedom app so that when I'm working, I can choose which websites or entire categories of the internet that I can't look at while I'm working. And
that's such a good idea.
It's the best. It's the best, because what I was doing was getting stuck with writing, feeling really frustrated and going over to a news site, getting myself all riled up because, I mean, let's face it, the news has been, you know, not great. I mean, and that's just an evergreen comment. But so now when you get the Freedom app, you go to click on the thing, it says site not found, and then it makes your whole screen green and says, you are free. So yeah.
That's funny. And it just says that. And so you can't, because you say from 3 to 5, just log me out. And so you, even if you want to, you can't.
You can't. You could go in, you'd have to do many complicated things, but then also you can only break it. I forget what it is, how many times you're only allowed to break it like 3 times before you can't use the app anymore or something. There's something very punitive. So anyway, so I've been doing that and that has transformed. I'm having a better revision week than I've had in months.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I have a new mascara that I'm liking.
Oh, tell me. I need a new mascara.
You know, I go through mascaras very quickly. Like, I don't have a favorite. I'm just always looking for the next best mascara. It's I'm chasing the monkey.
It's your thing.
Is that what they say? Chasing the monkey?
I don't know what they say.
Milk Beauty, their Kush mascara.
Okay.
Very thick, very volumizing. I'm enjoying it a lot.
Oh my God, this is what I've been meaning to tell you. So my kid is currently taking a collage class, which means we have like tons of magazines that we wouldn't normally have in the house because, you know, when you're taking a collage class, you need to whatever. And they were specifically making this Weezer album, like the Weezer Blue album. Remember that one? I don't know if you remember it.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's a very specific color blue. And so Alex had gone to the store and like picked up a bunch of magazines. And one of them happened to have this specific color blue that our kid needed a lot in it. It was like one of its theme colors. And it is a magazine called First for Women, and it is about being old. I don't know what else to say about it, except that it's about being over 50. And if you want the source of why we're so fucked up as women in this society, all you need to do is pick up a copy of First for Women because it is the worst. I was telling you earlier, there's a 7-page spread that's just like, hairstyles to cover all your oldness. It's just like, there's one that's like the banged bob masks forehead furrows. The sassy swing will soften your crow's feet. The silky shell will camouflage thinning. It's just one page after another about being old and how you have to hide it. There's so many weight loss things in here. There's so much about menno fat, how to get rid of it, all these fucking diets. And then my favorite part of it is there's like a whole feature on, there's like the best fats and this really terrible looking recipes. But then there's like this whole this whole feature about women who have been capitalizing. It's like, cash in with a midlife change. And it's like all of these women who are cashing in on women, other women in midlife.
Like, oh, this sounds like a trouble.
They started businesses that to help women in midlife, like, I bring in $2,500 a month just selling shapewear. It is.
And it's all like that?
It's all like that. I make up to $10,000 a month as an image consultant. When women stop remembering how to dress, I'm there. It is the worst shit. Anyway, you could make $10,000 more of than you already do a month. You could be an image consultant for somebody, or you could sell shapewear.
I could just work on undermining women's confidence by pretending to boost their confidence.
God, you're so good at this. Yes, that is exactly what I was talking about. Yes. Anyway, this magazine feels like it is from 1993, except that like we got older. It feels like all the magazines we read in 1993, except if we were 50 then.
That's really sad.
It's really, 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 really sad. And one of the cover lines is suddenly ellipse younger. Oh my God.
Cover lines. God, were you ever in cover lines meetings at Lucky?
Oh, Kim France. I was indeed sometimes in those meetings where we would talk for 15 minutes about whether we should use gorgeous or glamorous.
The new pretty. I always felt bad for the people in the art department because we did the cover lines in the art department and it was so tedious to hear all of these very well-educated women like going, funky femme. No, the new funky femme.
So I'm revising all kinds of parts of my book. And one of the parts that I'm revising is this section about Lucky. And so...
Oh my God.
What I'm holding up right now are a million Luckies that I pulled out.
Oh my God. Look, that was a big issue. That was a September issue, wasn't it?
How did you fucking know that? Yes. No, it's December 2008.
Oh, that
totally
2008, that is?
Yes. Yes.
Wow, we were still kind of fat in 2008.
No, 2008 is when I left. I left like right after this. But it's like, I just know how long, for example, Sexy and Stunning took us.
Sexy and Stunning. Yes.
Healthy, shiny hair. And I remember Jean Godfrey June was just the best at it. She knew exactly what we should do.
Like, no, she was always like, they want to see healthy. They want to see healthy. They want to, she always knew.
This is the best though. Carrie Russell. And I was there for this. I did this interview with Carrie Russell. Carrie Russell, could she be any prettier?
I wonder how long we spent on that one.
It was so funny. Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, affordable was a big word we used.
Free, another big word.
Oh, my God. Yes. This and then I went through a couple and I was like, oh, I remember that actress was a bitch.
I know. I think about that because I everybody's been talking about Anne Hathaway a lot. And we had a very stressful shoot with Anne Hathaway. And who knows what the truth was? Who knows who was at fault there?
I don't know who was at fault, but I do know that she was supposed to be in a dress and she wound up on the cover in her own jeans. I do know that. I do know that there was like a big to do about she was supposed to wear, you know, dress A, B, C, or D. And instead she was on the Lucky magazine cover with her own jeans that she walked in with.
Which is so against the whole Lucky. The whole Lucky ethos.
It was kind of against the law, is basically what it was. But what were you going to say about these cover meetings? What was exciting? We also didn't you do focus groups too?
Oh, we did focus groups. We did about over the 10 years I was there, maybe three rounds of focus groups, maybe four. And they're kind of weird. I mean, you know, some of our listeners have probably been in a focus group. You sit in a room, people behind a one-way mirror.
It's crazy.
Two-way mirror. What do you call it? A two-way mirror.
Two-way. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are sitting there and they're just picking apart your product. But then we did it with this one guy who thought, and this was so stupid. He's like, you guys should be in the room with them. This is how focus groups should work now. And of course, because the editors were in the magazine all the time, the people in the focus groups recognized them and got completely self-conscious and didn't really talk about
right
now. But focus groups were, you know, we were really allowed to create that magazine without focus grouping it and without a lot of research. And the focus groups were helpful. I mean, you know, one time when we were just doing, we had just done the test issue and they had decided to launch Lucky mm-hmm. based on the strength of the test issue. Mm-hmm. And this one girl walks into a focus group in LA. And she is, Andrea and I are like, oh my God, she is like the most lucky reader. She's so cute. Mm-hmm. She's this, she's that. Like, we love her. And she gets, it's her turn to talk. And she goes, yeah, I didn't really like it. It would kind of be like that. But we thought about, you know, she said some helpful things. But yeah, it was just like, she's it. She's going to get
right,
it.
Right. She's going to just hug this magazine. It's going to be the yes. best. Yeah. She's going to want to be the mascot. No, it's really funny. It was really funny looking through these and just knowing how much we labored over every single word in this magazine. And, you know, I mean, ultimately, like, for what? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I'm thinking about work a lot in that way, because as you know, I've talked to a lot of women recently in their 70s and 80s about their careers, and what people remember about work is not the work. Mm-mm. It's like rarely the work. It's the people, it's the environment, it's nothing to do with the shit that you actually stress about.
Mm-hmm.
It's what they learned, maybe, you know?
Yeah. No, I don't think about sitting at my desk with a red pen when I think about being at Lucky.
No, I don't think about that stuff either. I think about the people I knew. I think about, like, and I really just started thinking about, well, for a thing that brings us, like, this brings us so much stress and that we spend so much mental energy on at the end of your life. I mean, speaking about dying, you know, like, what are you going to remember? What does it even matter?
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, it does matter. It does matter because I think our identities as people with jobs are very important to us. It's different times of our life.
Yes, I think,
you know,
so
they
too.
Create our identity.
I think so
or
too.
Or for people like me and you, they created a lot of our identity for a long time.
I think so too. But I have a friend out here, and I went to a party the other night, and another friend was there, and we were all talking, and she kind of got lost in the conversation. And I said, hey, I didn't really get to talk to you. I'd really like to talk to you. And she said, oh, well, I don't really have a big splashy project to talk about. So I just didn't feel like I, you know, I had anything to contribute. Right. And I was like, listen, like,
yeah,
I don't give a shit about that. I want to know about you. And I went for a walk with her this week, and she was telling me about this job she has that is just totally an under the radar, just pay the bills job that she took so that she could focus on her mental health, a creative project that she was interested in. And she was like, I'm kind of embarrassed by my job to like tell people about it. And I was like, you're winning at capitalism. You have a job mm-hmm. that pays all of your bills, and you're here walking with me in the morning, and you know that you're getting a paycheck every, you know, 2 weeks or whatever it is. You have benefits and you have a spacious life. That's the win. The win is mm-hmm. not, you know, the big splashy projects.
God, no, the big splashy projects are rarely coincide with happiness.
No.
You know, you get an ego boost, you get a charge, like interesting people think you're interesting, but happiness, I don't know about that.
No. And it was actually one of the best conversations. It was a much better conversation than I had had about the big splashy projects. Because mm-hmm. we talked about real, very real things and about our lives and who we are and where we want to be and blah, 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 you know, life shit. Thanks for being here, everyone. And thanks for listening to Everything Is Fine. We're your hosts. I'm Jen Romolini.
And I'm Kim France.
If you like the show, please rate and review it on all the platforms. If you don't, please don't. We don't want to hear it. We read 5-star reviews sometimes on the show. If you want to support the production of the show, we have a Patreon at patreon.com/everythingisfine. We do live events there. We blog there. Sometimes we put up playlists there, but mostly it's just to help support the show and help us keep the lights on. If you want to follow us on social media, we're at EIF Podcast. We're also on Facebook with a private and robust Facebook group where things get spicy sometimes, as I discussed earlier. If you want to follow Kim, you can follow her on girlsofacertainage.com. If you want to follow me, I'm at tinyletter.com/JenniferRomolini. If you want to give us feedback, the best place to give us feedback is everythingisfinethepodcast@gmail.com. We monitor that regularly and we respond. The show is mixed and edited by the great Natalie Rivera. Thank you, Natalie.
Yay, Natalie.
We'll be back next week.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.